Baba.
Welcome to episode 2 of the 250. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Katie.
And today we are doing the natural follow-up to Silence of the Lambs, The Lion King.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so we watched it yesterday together, and now we're going to talk about it in severe detail.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting. We wanted something a little bit chiller than Silence of the Lambs, so we went back to an old classic that both of us watched in our youth. The Lion King was made in 1994, the year that I was born.
Oh, wow.
So this is super exciting. And yeah, while I was rewatching it, it was really interesting. It was just like kind of weird because I remember watching certain scenes when I was younger.
I remember like weird scenes though. It wasn't like the big, like obviously I remember like the whole like Pride Rock like lift him up at the front. But like I also remembered when like he like met Timon and Pumbaa and like started eating the bugs. Like I distinctly remember that and I don't know why.
Definitely. It's weird. Yeah, there was definitely very distinct parts of the movie that I did remember. So it was interesting rewatching it for sure. So do you want to just start at the beginning and just go?
Yeah, just go for it, man.
All right. So I guess at the very beginning, I noticed that there was a lot of like religious imagery in the in Simba's birth. It was a lot like Jesus's birth, you know, like everyone coming from all over to say, hey. And then when Rafiki lifts him up, like light rays just like shine down on baby Simba.
Yeah. From, like, I was like, the heavens.
Yeah.
They're going real heavy on the symbolism in this movie. Circle of Circle of Life, solid opening song.
Yes.
Like everyone knows it. You know, pink llamas, penguins in pajamas.
I was always wondered what those words said, so those that works.
You're welcome. Yeah. Have you ever seen, there's a YouTube video of the Broadway cast, like, they're stranded in the airport with also the Aladdin cast, and they just start, like, singing this. It's glorious. They start singing it all together. It's beautiful.
Like, that's excellent.
It's amazing.
That's awesome. I've never seen that, but we'll definitely look it up.
Yeah. So we can get into the, just the burning question. Why is Scar the worst? Like, what is his issue?
Yeah. From the beginning, he's just, like, a terrible character. But I think that's, they do that on purpose. They make him seem really just, like, evil.
I just, like, want to know the backstory, though. Like, I mean, you're second in line for the, like, you have a brother, like, that's how these things work, Scar. Like, let's not, like, he wasn't, like, he wasn't gonna have a son. And then I also don't think Mufasa was, like, not at fault at all in the entire relationship. Like, I feel like there was lots of brotherly, like, antagonism going on, but, like, Scar took it a little too far. That's what happened.
I think so. Also, do we ever learn the backstory of how he got his scar in the first place?
I don't think so. Well, not in this movie. I do know that before everyone called him Scar, because that's, like, why they call him Scar, it's because he has a scar. His name was, like, Taka, so T-A-K-A, which apparently just means, like, dirt or trash.
Whoa, so, hold on. That's in, that
that might contribute to some issues that he has in his life.
Yeah, later on.
Yeah, with people, it's just,
yeah, okay, well, that explains a lot. Yep. Yeah, I think it was interesting also something I have learned about in movies just in general is that evil characters are typically, like, portrayed based off of American culture and society at the time. So, like, Scar seemed to be, like, just to put it bluntly, looked kind of like an Arab terrorist.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was, like, on purpose, because it plays into people's perceptions and fears.
That totally makes sense. Yeah, he's much darker features.
And yeah.
Like, yeah, I totally see that. And I also noticed, this was just, like, nothing to do with the Arab thing, that he was just much skinnier than Mufasa in general. Like, the way they drew him, he was much skinnier and, like, a little more sinister looking, obviously, because he's the evil guy.
Yeah, so it's really interesting how the, like, a harmless cartoon can actually have so much subtle messaging.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So yeah, I thought also one thing I noticed from the very beginning of the movie was the wordplay. Like, there's really funny wordplay throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
So there's, what's the bird's name again?
Oh, Zazu.
Zazu, yeah. So Zazu was, like, giving, Simba a lesson and said, like, the buzz from the bees is that the leopards are in a bit of a spot. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Yeah. And the elephants never forget that. And I was like, this is awesome.
This is beautiful. I love it.
I also learned that the plural of antelope is antelope. So that's one thing I took out of the
movie. Were you saying like antelope before? Antelope.
Antelopes. Yeah. The antelopes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound, I don't know. That's wrong. I wonder if the plural of like cantaloupe is cantaloupe.
Cantaloupes. I say, I mean, I feel like you could go both ways. If you like corrected someone, then we'll just be like, I don't really, it doesn't really matter.
Does not matter. Yeah. So anyway, that's the fun fact of the day.
Just like the plural of cul-de-sac is coles-de-sac. Like no one's going to be like, excuse me.
Whoa. Yeah. I did not know that.
I got that from Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
You're welcome. And then, so I want to talk about the part where Mufasa is like, everything the light touches, you know, is yours. And, like, we've all seen that meme where it's, like, everything the light touches except for that shadowy place. And it's, like, something stupid. It's funny. Yeah.
You must never go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was definitely certain spots in this movie that I have seen as a meme all over the internet. Mm-hmm. But then
so realized, many.
Yeah. So in the movie, I was, like, I know that meme and I know that meme.
Mm-hmm. And it's just taken into a life of its own, basically.
It really has. The internet has brought it back.
But there's, like, one point that I wanted to bring up. Okay, so when he was talking about, like, the circle of life or whatever, and Simba's like, don't we eat the antelope? Then Dad's like, yeah, but it's all, of, like, the circle of nature. Like, are the antelope okay with this? Are they just like, okay, it's fine. It's a circle of life. We'll just sacrifice a few of our own for the king. Like, this doesn't seem like a very stable kingdom to begin with, so I don't really think Scar is to blame for all of this.
Yeah, I completely agree. And also, when all the animals are coming for the whole circle of life bit, it's like, yeah, the antelope showed up, but, like, why should they show up when they might just get eaten? Like, exactly. I don't know.
Like, this is, like, there's definitely, like, an antelope uprising happening in the background. I'm sure. It's on its way.
That's so funny. No one ever consulted the antelope on this. I also think, getting a little bit further into the movie. So we get to the I Just Can't Wait to Be King song, which we were actually watching in the Healy Family Student Center, surrounded by a bunch of people studiously studying, and we turned the volume up because everyone needed to hear that.
Exactly.
So that was really important.
Beautiful song.
That was something I contributed personally to the Georgetown community the other day.
You're welcome. You're everyone. Welcome.
It's such a good musical number, and even if you don't have time to watch this whole movie, please just go look it up, this specific music on YouTube.
Also, if you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's like problem number one.
The other thing. Yeah. Like, what?
So true. So true. And then going on from there, Simba finally makes it to the hyenas after it reminded me also Zazu's relationship with Simba and Nala when he's telling them to stop doing stuff was a lot like Wanda from Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
Like, constantly telling Timmy not to, like, wish for the things he's wished for.
Yeah. Zazu's anyway. The fun suck is what he is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they get to the hyenas, and again, playing into, like, American culture stereotypes, I thought that they looked a lot kind of like, they kind of resembled, like, I would say homeless individuals or, like, drug addicts.
Like Ed. Yeah, he was funny, but, like, on a more serious note.
Yeah, it's like, what is he perpetuating? Like, who is being perpetuated as the evil people in this movie?
Yeah,
so.
He's just, like, a crazy dude. And it's I totally see that. And then they did say, the hyenas were saying one thing. They were like, yeah, if the lions weren't around, we would be running things. And I was like, what? Would you?
Like, would anyone allow this?
Or is it like lions and then hyenas in terms of like regalness of animals? Because I don't think that's really fair to say.
Yeah, no, they really believed in it though.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, they can keep believing that. But.
So then Scar, there was a lot of symbolism in this movie as well when Mufasa was teaching Simba about how kings rule from, like, sunrise to sunset, and then a new king takes over the next sunrise to sunset, and he's, like, explaining this during a sunset.
Yeah, you're like,
oh my gosh, it was coming, like, it was coming.
Like, we all know, oh god, my heart.
Yeah, right.
And they're so cute. Like, they did such a good job of, like, building that father-son relationship.
Yeah,
like, you really felt it. Like,
it's adorable. Ugh,
it was, like, even though it was, like, cartoon animals, you were, like, you felt it, you were in it.
Yeah.
I really felt like... And then Scar's song, Disney just knows how to do, like, a good evil guy song. Like,
yeah.
They're very good at that. Like, it's that one, and then also, must be terrifying for children. The one in Princess and the Frog is the other one that really, like, I don't remember, it terrifying. I saw that when I was old, and I was still, like, kind of skeeved out by it.
Yeah, they certainly do, Disney does do a good job of scarring children. Like, they, in the IMDb, like, message board section, which I love looking at for these movies, one of the, like, board posts was, why is this movie rated G? Like, I specifically remember having nightmares about these songs. And other people were all commenting, like, it was a different time, or, like, kids were tougher back in the day, and, like, whatever. But, please. It's a valid point, is, like, these songs are scary.
Yeah.
So, rock on, Disney.
Yeah. This one, yeah, and we can get to just the real low point of the movie.
Yeah.
So sad.
Crying. Literally crying.
Also, why?
Ugh, gosh.
So depressing. I really feel like... It's like he's like the only, because Disney loves himself some dead parents. Like, that's a weird thing to say.
Oh, God.
But, like, I feel like most, if not all of the characters have, like, one or more dead parents. And, like, I feel very like he's true. The only one to die on screen. And it's just, like, really affecting because it's just sad. And, like, they built that relationship so well. And then you see him, like, fall into the stampede, and you're like, oh, like, I was watching it, and, like, already, like, I was, like, hoping that it wasn't gonna happen.
Right, we, like, all know it's coming, but you just hold out hope. Maybe this time the movie will be different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was really sad, and again, Disney did a great job, because that's what they love to do.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, hit you right in the heart.
Yeah, they...
Like, it's their job, because it is.
Because it's... So let's see. So yeah, so then we get to, so Simba runs away because Scar tells him to.
Yeah.
So sad. And Scar just makes Simba believe that he, like, killed his dad.
God.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway. So then there's the Hakuna Matata scene. And let it be known, let the record show that Danielle started interpretively dancing to Hakuna Matata.
Great.
When it came on. Because you loved it. It's so good. Yeah, no, it was super, super accurate just because it's such a great song. So that's another one to look up, again, if you're not going to watch the movie.
Which, why not?
Which there's really no reason you shouldn't, yeah. But look that one up,
anyway.
Too. And there's also, again, like, references I never got while watching this as a kid. So Timon starts singing in Hakuna Matata. He says, "What's in a name?" And it was like, yeah. I see you.
Shakespeare, I got you. And also, because Lion King is like Hamlet. Is Hamlet? Hamlet is the one that it is?
No, isn't it in Romeo and Juliet?
No, yeah, what's, like, in a name? But, like, okay. I think the Lion King, like, the whole plot is one of those. I want to say it's Hamlet. I might
be
mistaken.
I did not even pick up on that.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
I'm sure the internet knows.
Yeah, the internet probably knows.
Yeah.
I think it's Hamlet. I read Hamlet. Couldn't tell you.
Could not tell you.
But.
Yeah, so there you go. It's actually all Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
So.
And then also they introduce Simba to the idea of grub as food, which is, like, where I remember first learning the word grub for meant food. So.
Also, I have a working theory. Timon and Pumbaa are stoners, and Simba becomes a stoner. Like, this is a working theory. Because, like, that one part where they're, like, staring up at the stars and just talking all, like, philosophically, I'm like, they're high. And then and then when he's like, remember who you are, like, who you've become isn't who you're supposed to be, it's because he's, like, too busy, like, getting high and not running the kingdom.
Also, the fact that he could, like, see these weird visions, like, isn't really explained without, like, some sort of influence.
Exactly.
So that was interesting. Actually, fun that you mentioned that, I noticed that when Simba eats the bugs for the first time while they're singing Hakuna Matata, he kind of treats Hakuna Matata as, like, cheers or, like, bottoms up.
Yeah.
So he goes, like, Hakuna Matata, and just
no
eats
worries,
the first
man.
Bug. Yeah, and it's like, huh, interesting, like, first introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something.
I still remember the words to Hakuna Matata, because it's just such a good song.
Great life motto, too.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, so then there's also the other musical interlude of Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That Timon is, I think, just kind of humming.
Yeah.
That song got stuck in my head. Made literally 10 seconds of the movie, and I was just done for the rest
of
the night.
Your dreams.
Like, of all the songs, that was the one that got to me.
Full disclosure, we ordered this movie from our library, Lau, and it skipped, like, whole chunk of the movie.
Yeah, so sad.
So sad.
Yeah, like, thanks, Lau.
Like, I think rock we on. All, like, remember what happened. Like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Like, Simba and Nala, like, totally, like, get it on. It's fine. And then, but we didn't get to see it.
We did not.
But we imagined it.
Yeah, we song, did get the... to listen to this great mashup of Can You Feel the Love Tonight on
Wonderful.
YouTube. Just Google Can You Feel the Love Tonight mashup, and I think it's the one with Drake.
It's... Maybe we'll, like, all right, on, like, three, we'll, like, insert it into the podcast, and we'll, like, fade right back in. It'll be great. Ready?
Yeah, just...
All right, wasn't that great?
Yeah, rah, God. Okay, but yeah, so Can You Feel the Love Tonight actually won Best Original Score, mm-hmm. I guess, in 1994. Or Best Original Song, sorry, and the overall movie won Best Original Score. So again, if you needed any more evidence that the songs and music in general in this movie is great, just here it is.
Flawless, it's great, it's wonderful.
Yeah, so then we move on to the scene with Rafiki. He talks about himself in the third person, yeah, which is like great.
Crazy old dude.
crazy uncle. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's awesome.
Yeah. I just like how he's like, oh, I know who you are, Simba. And then Simba's like, what is that? Okay, thanks, bye. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, wait, can we talk about this for a little bit? No? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rafiki makes Simba look into the water to like... I forget what the whole symbolism of that was.
He was like, who you become. I have your dad.
Right,
and
right, right.
And Simba's like, wow, what?
Yeah, and Simba's like, that's just me in the water. And then it was all, like, a connection to Mulan. Like, mm-hmm. When will my reflection show? Like, all this stuff. But really, it
Katie
was, like...
Katie started singing.
Yeah,
she
I did start singing. but, yeah, so that was a good Disney connection in there. Yeah, and then also, so... Then Simba's, like, all re-inspired by the weird image of his dad that he, like, talks to, and he starts his trek back to go, like, fight Scar. Mm-hmm. But he treks through, like, a desert and the elephant graveyard, and, like, when did, like, this is wildly inaccurate, because he never...
Where was all of this?
He never went through any of those to get to the forest, so, like, I don't know, there was just, like, too many landscapes. Like, I was having some trouble making the connection there, but you know what? It was important. It was important.
Okay, so he goes back to his homeland. It's like a total disaster, which I find hard to believe because doesn't a savanna just kind of run itself? Like, aside from, like, I think either he just couldn't handle the antelope uprising is what happened. But, like, if not, like, what did you really have to run, Scar? Like, what, you had one job.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't do it.
It was the hyenas, really.
Yeah.
They started running things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the whole place has gone to ruin. It's all gray and thunderstormy, so, like... There you go. There's that imagery. There was also, like, I guess the, like, fight ensued. And, like, then the convenient lightning strike, like, hits the ground and sets the entire savannah on fire.
Yeah. It was, like, at the right moment, too. I was like, okay.
Like, wow, isn't that convenient?
Yeah. And also, did you notice that Scar and Simba are the only, like, males in the pride left?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else is a... female, I guess.
Yeah, the females finally started getting some representation. Yeah. Like, the lionesses just took it on, and I was like, finally.
All of the work, and it just, yeah.
Yeah, there were so many issues of, like, gender roles in this movie, mm-hmm. especially when they were, like, the only way that Scar was judging Simba's masculinity was, like, how well he could roar.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Scar even made the comments very early on to Mufasa, like, oh, you got the, like, strength, but at least I have brains, and it was, like, all this weird kind of gender dynamic
and
stuff.
And then he, like, slaps Sarabi at that one point, he, like, hits her.
Yeah.
Towards the end. I was like, fine.
Yeah, so it was just, that was interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was also some slow-mo action fighting that happened between Scar and Simba, which
really
was...
really intense.
It was really intense.
It was just...
And Scar, like, jumps through the fire at one point, which was, like, a whole, like, devil imagery of, like, I don't know. So that happened.
And then Simba definitely, like, should be blind right now. Like, the part where he, like, throws the fire into his eyes. I'm like, you're done. It's over. This fight is over.
You can't come back from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little... There were some, like, you know, unrealistic parts. Is it a cartoon? Yes. But just worth noting.
Always gotta suspend your disbelief, I guess.
Yeah, every time. Then there was, like, after the fight was over, there was, like, rain, which is, like, cleansing and, like, starting anew.
Yeah.
Like, yay, Simba. And then, but then at the end, Simba also roars. He, like, climbs the rock, and then he, like, lets out his, like, roar for the first time. And I was just like, ugh, like, so much, like, what? To be, like, the king, you have to be,
typical,
like, super.
Male.
Yeah, super powerful. So that was, like, an annoying end for me, even though I'm sure it was supposed to be great.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't see it that way. But to be fair, when the movie did end, both Danielle and I, in unison, were like, so good.
Yeah. Like, we thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Yeah. Like, it's a good movie, if you didn't already know.
Yeah. Like, I really, really enjoyed the movie, and watching it again was not a problem. I would watch it again today. Yeah. Like, still have the DVD, so I might actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are, like, tons of sequels they did. They did, like, Lion King 2, like, Scar has a son or something like that. Like, I don't know. I don't remember. And then there's Lion King 1.5, where it's just an entire movie dedicated to the comic relief characters. Which, like, I don't think has ever really worked out. Ever.
Yeah, but I have seen Lion King 1.5, which is the backstory of Timon and Pumbaa, and it's really good.
Oh, wow.
It's really good. It shows their perspective, like, before they meet Simba, and then, like, while they meet, and, like, after. So it's, like, got all the steps from their perspective. So I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it.
I don't think I saw it when I was young, mm-hmm. and I don't remember it, but I'm just like, do they really need whole movie
together? Yeah, right. Yeah, but at least if it would be any two characters featured, like, I think mm-hmm. those would be the ones to make a movie about.
Definitely.
Yeah, so this movie, as you know, our podcast is about movies on the top 250 list. This movie is number 53,
mm-hmm.
Having won 2 Oscars, and then it also says another 28 wins and 25 nominations. I think all are deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to re-rank this movie on the list, do you think it belongs at number... what did I just say? 53. Number 53, or should it go higher, lower? What do you think?
I actually think 53 is a good number because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a Disney has a very, like, good way. Like, it's, like I said with Silence of the Lambs, like, it's very, like, in pop culture. Like,
for sure.
Like, but, like, this whole time I've been saying, like, how have you not seen Lion King if you haven't seen it? It's just because it's that. Like, that's, like, everyone's childhood movie, like, for the most part. And then I feel like, also, it's just, like, a good movie, and Disney has a very good, easy... Disney's very good at, like, affecting people emotionally with their movies. Like, the last, like, 4 Pixar movies, like, everyone's like, I came out of there sobbing. It's fine. Like, I'm a mess. But, yeah, so definitely, like, when Mufasa dies, and it's just, like, a good, fun movie to watch. And I think 53 is, like, a perfect place for it because I don't think it's, like, high art. Because, I mean, right. I'm just maybe a film snob, I don't know, because it's a cartoon, but it's just a very good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think it belongs right where it is. It's got something for both kids, as I loved it as a kid, mm-hmm. and older people, since you can see, like, a lot of, like, wordplay and, like, more deeper imagery, if that's what you're into. So I think that there's something for everyone, and the music is great. Like, I think...